today we're going to continue our series, Characters of the Bible. Characters of the Bible. We've talked about David recently, and we've talked about Daniel, Noah. Last week, Pastor Matt did an awesome job talking about Judas. How many appreciate Pastor Matt's message last week? Did you appreciate him doing it? Yes. Today I want to talk to you about the courage of Joshua and Caleb. The courage of Joshua and Caleb. As we say characters of the Bible, we're not just talking about Bible characters, but we're also talking about character qualities these people had that were pulling out of some of the stories that we're looking at. And today I want to talk to you about this character quality of courage that we've seen that Joshua and Caleb possessed. How many know that courage is oftentimes a commodity that we don't see often? They did a report recently, maybe some of you have seen this on, I think it was 2020, did a report where they had different instances set up around the city where people who were needing help to see if somebody would step forward and help them. And from maybe and these were actors, of course, and they had maybe someone like in a park who maybe a boyfriend was being abusive to a girlfriend, or somebody was trying to harm a child or something. And they were doing it out on the open public on busy streets and open parkways. And they wanted to see how many people would stop by to offer a hand of courage. And you'd be surprised that very few people ever stopped to help people who were in trouble. And whether they were too busy and didn't notice what was going on, or whether they were just didn't have the courage to stand up for what they know they should do. And they asked some people who passed by, why didn't you stop and help this person? And some would say, I just didn't notice them. But a lot of them said, you know, I've seen it, but I was just scared to get involved. You know, it takes courage to get involved and to do the right thing. It takes courage to stand up. But there was some people, and it was always amazing to me that it was not the biggest and the baddest who stopped to help. It wasn't the biggest guy who passed by, but many times it was the single woman who was up in her years and maybe had a cane, and she was ready to use that cane against that guy. You know, one of the times, hey, this is just an act, you know. She was going to beat that guy with a cane. But, you know, it was surprising the people. Many times it was small children who would see the other small child in danger and who would stop and say, can I help you? And they would go get their mommy and bring them back. You know, it was surprising the people who you wouldn't think had the courage were the ones stepping up with courage. You know, in a commodity society, it's so easy today to see, you know, everything is so collapsible, isn't it? You know, we got, you know, these chairs. It's amazing, you know, we can take all these chairs and our car and our computers, you know, and all these things that are collapsible. You know, you can take them, and if you don't fit, you can just collapse them and put them in your car. And today, I think our courage is kind of that way, that all of us possess courage, but so easily do we collapse it down and we don't use it when it's necessary. It becomes another commodity that we have, and we kind of just put it aside, and we don't use it unless, you know, unless we just have to use it, and then we don't like to get it out. It's like prying it open. But today, I'm going to talk to you about courage. I believe today God is wanting us to have courage, strong courage. Matter of fact, we see in this Bible, he commands us to have courage. They have courage. And we see Joshua and Caleb. Let's set the story up here, where they were a part of the children of Israel who had just been delivered. They had just been delivered from the hands of Pharaoh. They had crossed the Red Sea. After they crossed the Red Sea, of course, we've seen God doing all the great miracles to get them out of Pharaoh's hand. And then they cross on dry ground. The Red Sea parts, and they cross on dry ground. I mean, miracle after miracle after miracle, they're seeing God perform this. Moses is holding up his staff, and boom, it happens. And God is performing miracle after miracle. And they get to the edge of the promised land. Let's pick it up right here in Numbers 13, 27, and 29. And verse 27 says, they gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you have sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. And what's happening here is they get to the edge of the promised land, and Moses says, you know what? God says for me to do this. He took 12 spies, and he sent them out to spy out the land. You see, God has given us this land. God has promised us this promised land. Now he sent out these 12 spies to go out and to see what's out there, who's living there. God's going to give us this land. Let's see what's out there. And he sends the spies out, and they come back, and they give Moses an account. They said, we went out into the land which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. here's the fruit. And the Bible talks about this fruit being the biggest fruit you've ever seen in your life. I mean, they're so excited about this is the best land in all time here. And verse 28 says, but the people who live there, they are powerful. They even saw the descendants of Anak there. And the Amalekites live near Negev. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea. And all the Perizzites that are out there we don't see yet. I'm here talking about this land, and they're like, hey, it's big, Moses. Let me tell you this report. It's big. And, man, the fruit. And, I mean, they're talking about the richest soil we've ever seen. I mean, you plant something down, and it grows, and always does it grow. It multiplies to the biggest crops you've ever seen. I mean, it's flowing with all the milk and honey and fruit and crops that we need. This is it, Moses. But let me tell you this. All these ites that are there, these Jebusites and Perizzites and Amalekites and Hittites and Jebusites, all these people, man, they're scary. They're powerful. And so we see this thing happening here where God is, I mean, think about it. God has delivered them from thousands of years of bondage here, you know. Pharaoh's hand, and he does all the plagues, and he delivers parts of the Red Sea, and then he kills the army of Pharaoh as they pursue after him by bringing the waters back down. I mean, God has done miracle after miracle after miracle. And you would think that they would be so full of courage, wouldn't they? And they were. They were. They're like, yes, here's the promised land. Let's go spy out the land. I can see the pep rally before they go. Can you imagine them out there, you know? Give me an S. Give me a P. Give me an I. I mean, they're sending out the spies, and we're going, man. They're ready. You know, they have the chariot fight song, and they have the parade, and, you know, and the shofar is going off. I mean, they are partying it up. Yes, this is the land that God has given us. We have been delivered. Here's the promised land. Our mighty God is going to give it back to us here, you know. And as they go out, and it says they were gone for 40 days, and when they come back, something happens to them. Something happens to them. Something happens to the majority of the spies. They lose their courage. Why do they lose their courage? Because of what they've seen. Instead of going about what they know, instead of going after and saying, you know what, our God has delivered us all along the way. He just parted the Red Sea and killed Pharaoh's army. These guys are nothing compared to Pharaoh's army. Surely God will deliver them to us. If this is God's will, he's going to give them to us. It's going to happen. But instead, they come back and like, it is a great place, but these guys are so powerful. Can you imagine? Man, we were so close. It was right there. We can see it, but we just can't take it because these guys are too big for us. And we see the courage automatically become squelched and get into this cowardly thing. You know, it takes courage to make it in life. I had a man one time come up to me. And he said, Pastor, he said, there's something going on in my work that I know is unethical. And my boss is doing something that's unethical. But I know if I go tell the owner what's going on, he's probably going to get fired. Or I don't know what's going to happen. You know, what should I do? I just can't work in this office and know what's going on. It's unethical. And so I just told him, man, you got to do the right thing. You pray about it. But, you know, I believe this. If you do the right thing, that God will protect you and your integrity. And I just guarantee you that. And I pumped him up, you know, and said, God's going to protect you. God's going to bless you. And so he did. He went to the owner of the company and said, hey, this is what's going on in my office. I just can't work this way. And I got to let you know this is an unethical thing is going on. And my boss is approving of it. And you know what happened? He got fired. What a great testimony. I'm like, great God. I gave this guy advice to do the right thing, and he gets fired. I mean, that's just kind of crazy. Here, he's the one going and telling what's going on, and the other guy gets a slap on the hand, and he gets fired. But you know what? He was without a job how long? 1 week. He got hired by a rival company making twice as much as he was making before. Twice as much within 1 week. Listen, when you do the right thing, God will take care of you. But it takes courage to do the right thing. It takes courage to stand up for what's right. It takes courage. But many times we're scared of what's going to happen. If I stand up for what's right, what's people going to think about me? What are people going to say about me? Let me talk to you about this courage. And then, matter of fact, I want to talk to you actually just about the opposite for a few minutes here. Let's talk about things that happen when we lose our courage. Number one, There's a quick transition from courageous to cowardly. There's a quick transition from courageous to cowardly. Have you ever noticed that? That man, we have all the courage in the world, and all of a sudden they can just leave us real fast. When something happens, when it's really time to stand up, ever been to a meeting where before you went into that meeting, people come to you and say, listen, we got to stand together on this. We got to confront the owner, or we got to talk to the boss about this, and or someone needs to bring us up to the leader. You know, we're all together. We're all on the same page. We got to do this. You know, are you with me? Yeah, we all got to be together. And you get there, and it's time to stand up, and you stand up, and you're the only one talking. All the people who said you need to do it, who encourage you to do it, they're like, deer in headlights. They won't speak up. They won't say anything. And you're like, listen, we just had this conversation a while ago. We were all going to come forward and talk about something that needed to be changed. Isn't it amazing how that can happen? Some of you guys ever been there in that place where people come to you? I just had a leader while I was in convention who came to me. And I was talking about something that suggestion of change, the way they did some things there at convention. And he said, you know what? He was the youngest of all the executive leaders. He's the youngest guy. He's a friend of mine. He oversees all the church planning. And I was making some suggestions. He said, you know what? It's funny. He goes, all the other guys are coming to me and asking me to be the one to take it to Pastor Jack. He goes, you know, all these great leaders are coming to me. They want me to be the one to bring it up. None of them want to have enough guts to stand up and to take it and bring a suggestion of change. And we were laughing about that because, they know he's got the courage. He'll probably do it. He said, but the thing about it is when I stand up, I don't know if they'll actually get behind me. I don't know if I bring this up, if they're actually going to get behind me. You know, and isn't that how our life is? That, you know, everybody talks a big game, but when it really comes down to where the rubber meets the road, do we really have the courage? All these spies, they had courage, didn't they? Send me, yeah. Moses, I'm the spy. You know, spies like us, man, they are out there. They've been, you know, this is it. This is the top of the line of the army spies. I mean, they're being sent out. I mean, can you imagine the pride going to that parade? Oh, look at the courage. I mean, if I had a big C on their chest, you know. I'm courage. You know, I'm going out there to spy the land. I've been chosen. And they come back so cowardly. What happened? Somewhere along the line, they begin to see things with their natural eyes and quit seeing how big God was in their life. They forgot so quickly what God had just done in their life. And so many times we see where courage gets squelched and it very quickly can transition to being a coward. Courage is also, number two, a lonely commodity. Look at Numbers 13:30. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." I mean, everybody's speaking out to Moses. Hey, Moses! We can't do it. Sorry. We can't do it, Moses. We can't do it. We can't do it. We can't do it. Who is it? Little Caleb here stands up and says, quiet. Says he silenced the crowd. Can you imagine that? A million people there, and Caleb silences them. I mean, I would love to have seen that. Quiet. You know, whatever happened, but I believe the anointing of God just came all over Caleb, and he said, quiet. Silence. And it says that Caleb stuck up and he said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." That many times that when you stick out to do the right thing, that you feel almost all alone. Nobody else is sticking up with Caleb here. Just him and Joshua. They're the only two. The other 10 spies, they're saying, "We can't do it." The other 10 spies are saying, "Man, we cannot make it." But Caleb and Joshua are the only ones standing up and saying, "We can do it." And many times, let me tell you this, when you have courage, you're going to seem like you're all alone. I'm just going to tell you, many times God's going to move on your heart to do something courageous, and when you do it, you're going to feel like you're the only one out there. And that's okay. I've been there, and I know what it feels like to feel like you're stepping out on a limb, and you're doing something and confronting something that needs to be confronted. Because I know the Holy Spirit was telling me to do it, and He gave me the courage, and I acted on that courage. But many times when I took that first step, I was the only one out there. And many times when you take courage, whether it's on your job or in your home or in your family, taking courage, spiritual courage, whatever it is, when you take courage, you're going to be the only one moving that way. You're going to be the only one standing up and saying, listen, this is not right. this is not right. We got to change some things in our family. We got to change some things in our marriage. We got to change some things in our children. We got to change some things in my job. We got to change some things in our giving. We got to change some things in our prayer life. We got to change some things in our relationship with God. It takes courage. We got to change the way we relate to our neighbors. We got to change the way that I'm talking about the gospel. I got to change the way I'm talking at work. I got to change my attitude. I mean, it takes courage to stand up. And many times when you stand up, you're the only one out there standing up alone. Many times courage is a lonely commodity. The third thing we see is negativity. It's an infectious disease. Let's read what happens here in Numbers 13, 31, and 32. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. And they said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. And all the people we saw there are of great size." Let me just tell you that right away, that negativity is so contagious, man. Negativity is so contagious, it's like a disease. It will eat at you, and it will spread throughout your home. It will spread throughout your work. It will spread throughout your family. When you allow a negative spirit to constantly be there, it's like a disease. It will eat at you. And I can tell you that there's times in my life I've had to evaluate and see where I've allowed negative talk and negative things in my life and negative attitudes, and it ate at me like a cancer. It just ate away at me. And I had to recognize it. It took courage to break away and say, you know what? I'm breaking away from this negative talk. I'm breaking away from this negative relationship. I'm breaking away from these negative thoughts. I'm breaking away from this negative attitude. And I'm going to take courage, and I'm going to stand up for the right thing. And it takes courage to do that. But if you don't, negativity is like a disease. It will spread. And it said here that they begin to talk about how bad the place was. They went from, "This is the promised land, God has given it to us," to, "We can't do it. We're going to get killed. We can't do it." And it says they spread it all throughout the camp. I mean, can you imagine going from a pep rally to the very edge of the promised land? And for God had done all that, they're coming back and having people saying, "We can't do it." Oh, I mean, you're talking about downers, you know. I talked about that with David a few weeks ago, about you have vision vandals who come and want to stop your vision. Anytime you get a vision for God, a vision to improve your life, a vision to do things for God, that people come against you with small vision, no vision, they always attack you. Well, I guarantee you, when you stand up for the right thing, you're going to have those who are negative come against you. What do you think you're doing? What, you know what you're doing is not, you know, they'll come back and they'll speak negative against you. They'll talk about you. They'll do things, and negativity is infectious because it spreads. It spreads. And I guarantee you this, that negative people will find each other. Isn't that a great thing? How many know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. I know people who are extremely negative, and I know that they don't know the other person who's extremely negative, but it doesn't take long. Get them in the same place, like a magnet. They'll find each other, and they'll be negative together. And those two will find two others, and those two will find two others, and pretty soon, you got this crowd of people who are negative because somebody else brought it in. Somebody else brought that negative talk in and put that negative doubt there. Negativity will spread like a disease. Let's keep reading. Numbers 14, 1 through 2 says, "And that night all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, the whole assembly of them. If only we had died in Egypt or in the desert." Which brings us to our fourth point. The grumbling always focuses at the leaders. You ever notice that? Grumbling always focuses at the leaders. It says that night all the people of the community raised their voices and wept out loud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in the desert." Let me tell you this, that when you step out and take courage to step out to be courageous, people are going to speak out against you. It's going to happen. So you get a vision for your life and you want to step out and do the right thing, I guarantee you people are going to speak against you. So how many want to know today? Let me just tell you this. How many want to know what's the best way to never have anybody say anything bad about you? How many want to know what that is today? Don't do anything. Don't take a chance in life. Don't step out and be courageous. Because no one ever notices the cowards. No one ever notices people without a backbone. Those people, they don't get talked about. But it's those who dare to stand up for the things of God. It's those who dare to stand up and lead a generation. It's those who will stand up and lead and stand up for the right thing that become the target of criticism. It's going to happen. And so I tell you this, that when you become courageous, that be ready. There's going to be people around your inner circle that are going to talk out about you. They're going to say things about you. But that's okay. That's all right, because God will reward you. It may look bad immediately. You may look like you lost your friends immediately. You may look like you lost your position immediately. But I guarantee this, that God will sustain you. And God has a purpose for your life. And God will put you in a place of authority. And God will put you in a place of trusting you, because he knows that he can trust you. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that we see the people who lead the children of Israel into the promised land? Who were they? Joshua and Caleb. The only two who stood up for the right thing, they were the two who were in charge and led the people into the land. They weren't in charge before. They were just part of the spies. But because they dared to stand up, God took favor in their life. Because they dared to stand up and be courageous for the right thing, God said, you know what? I'm going to bless these two guys. The rest of these spies, they're going to rot, man. They're going to die before they get to the promised land. They will not inherit it. But Joshua and Caleb, they're going to be the ones. They're going to lead my people. Which brings us to our next point, which says this, that negativity will lead you to wilderness wanderings. Negativity will lead you to wilderness wanderings. Joshua 1, 6 and 9. We're going to go with that in just a second. But we see here, because of these guys, because of their negative attitudes, because of these spies' negative attitudes, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Because they were not courageous, because these spies could not remember what God had done in their life, because these guys could not stand up and lead the people of God. God had sent them out. They were destined. They were appointed by Moses. They were supposed to come back and lead the people to say, God can lead us. Yes, we're going to have a strategy. And yes, God's going to help us. We're going to need God's help. But we are more than able to take the land that God has given us. The guys who had that attitude were wrong too. And let me tell you this. I dare you, just a little Bible study for you to do on your own time. I dare you to go back and look in the Bible and see where the majority was ever right. Go back and look and see where the majority was ever right. Because most of the time in Scripture, we see the majority had it wrong. That many times it was those who were courageous and stood up were the ones that God used. Just a little food for thought there. Well, Pastor, the majority of us want to do this. I'm just giving you a little food for thought. All right, that's another sermon for another time. It takes courage to stand up for what's right. It takes courage to do the right thing. And when you allow that negative spirit, the anti-courage spirit, the cowardly spirit, and you allow, you know, people to speak negative and you don't stop it, that's a cowardly thing. When people in your circle talking about people at your work and you don't stand up and say, hey, let's don't talk about people here, okay? It may take courage to do that, to stand up in a break room and say, hey, let's leave them alone. Let's don't talk about our boss. Let's don't talk about our coworker. Let's don't talk about this person over here. I mean, when we do that, it takes courage to stand up for what's right. But if you don't, that disease of negativity will cause you to wander in the wilderness for 40 years and will stop you from getting to the blessing that God has for your life. They wandered 40 years in the desert because of their negative spirit allowed to come in. I mean, that's how powerful the negative words are. That's how powerful being a coward is. But those who are courageous, they possessed the land. Those who were courageous, they led the people. Even when the majority said, you know what, I don't think we can do it. And the other said, you know what, we've heard from God. We've seen what God can do. And we know that our God is able. Our God is able to lead us. Our God is able to give us possession. Those were the ones who possessed the place that God has for them. Look what Joshua 1, 6 and 9 says. This is God talking to Joshua. He says, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people and to inherit the land I swore to your forefathers to give them. Let's skip down to verse 9. Have I not commanded you, Joshua, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. He will be with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous. Today, to those who dare to stand up, those who dare to stand up for the right things, God says, be strong and courageous. Many times it just takes you to stand up and say, you know what? This is not right. This is not right. You see, racial things happen at your work. Discrimination shouldn't happen. You stand up and say, no, that's not right. That's not right. You see someone being treated differently because they're female or male. You stand up and say, no, that's not right. That's not right. That's not right. In your home, see things happen and you know, displease the heart of God. It takes courage as a father, as a mother, to stand up and say, you know, that's not right. We've got to change some things in our home. When you see some things in your relationships that aren't working, it takes courage to stand up and say, you know what? I'm failing right here. Honey, I've blown it. I've been horrible. I'm not communicating to you the way I should. We're not spending the time we should. I've been mad about some things I shouldn't have been mad about. It takes courage to stand up and admit you're wrong. It takes courage. But that's what God wants to give us today, the spirit of courage. He says, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to you, all because of their courage. So today, where does God want to give me courage? He wants to give you courage in three areas of your life. First of all, he wants to give you spiritual courage. He wants to give you courage to stand up for what's spiritual things in your life. That means that you stand up and say, you know what, I need to do better here. I need to improve my relationship with Jesus Christ. I need to improve my spiritual relationship. He gives me spiritual courage to confront my weaknesses. He gives me spiritual courage to confront the sin in my life. He gives me spiritual courage to stand up and say, you know what, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can conquer these things. He gives me ethical courage. He gives you courage that you do the right thing on your job, that you stand up for the right reasons. And he also wants to give you courage, a relational courage, as I was talking about earlier. A courage that says, you know what, Dad? I know that my dad, I'm just talking in general here, but maybe you say to myself, you know, my dad was not there for me. My dad didn't spend a lot of time with me. My dad wasn't huggy-huggy with his kids. Or my mom, she abandoned us. But it takes courage to say, you know what? I'm going to change some things in my kids' life. It takes courage to say, you know what? I'm going to love my kids every day. I'm going to hug and kiss my kids every day. I'm going to tell my kids I love them every day. Well, Pastor, that's just not me. I don't say I love you. Well, get over it. Have some courage. Pastor, that's pretty tough. Yes, it is. But our children need someone with courage. Our children need a father and a mother with courage who are going to love them, who are going to step out and say, you know what, this is the right way to love our children. I need to see a dad who will admit that he's wrong. I need to see a dad and a mom who love each other, who have the courage to stand up and say, we blow it at times. And it takes courage in our relationships. It takes courage throughout our life. But that's what God's given you, the spirit of courage. He says, I've not given you the spirit of fear. He's not giving you the spirit to be a coward. That's what he said all throughout Scripture. We see that where he says, I've not given you the spirit of fear. Fear not. What's he saying? He said, don't be a wimp. Don't be spiritual wimps. Don't be spiritually people who are so cowardly. Stand up. Stand up. It was on the campus of Purdue University. So I was telling this story. I reminded of this illustration of a student rally that was going on. And help me with this name. Madeline O'Hara, is that right? The lady who was against prayer in schools. Am I saying the right name? Okay. She was holding a rally of anti-prayer, anti-God. Let's get the prayer out of schools. Let's get the Ten Commandments, all these things out. Anything that had to do with God, she wanted it out of anything public. In the mid-1970s, she was holding a rally at Purdue University. And while she's there, she began to speak about anti-God this, anti-God that. And one of the young men there at Purdue University, he was sitting as long as he could, and he thought, you know, this is not right. What I'm hearing is not right. I'm a Christian. What can I do? You know, stand up, though. Here's thousands of people listening to her speak. What can I do to stand up, to have courage? This guy who couldn't sing a lick, this guy who had never sung in the choir, never sung in the praise team, probably didn't have a good voice at all of a sudden the courage built up within him. In the middle of this whole auditorium, he stood up in the middle of the auditorium, and he began to sing, stand up for Jesus. And I don't know how the rest of the song goes. I know part of it. He began to sing that song about standing up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. And you know what? You could just barely hear him because there's thousands of people there. But as he stands up and sings it, somebody else hears him, and they stand up on this side, and they start singing with him. And somebody over here stands up and sings over here, and the people in front of them. And the next thing you know, hundreds of people are standing up across the auditorium singing, stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. And pretty soon, thousands of people, and pretty soon almost all the whole place will stand up on their feet singing that song, stand up for Jesus. She got so upset, she slammed her book down and said she'd never been insulted so much in her life, and she walked off the stage and said she vowed to never come back to that university. All because one person had the courage to stand up among his peers. I wonder how many of us, that God's speaking to us every day about standing up in small groups of people around us, large groups of people around us, in our home, in our family. And we know it's God speaking to us, but we just haven't had the courage to do it. And I'm here today to tell you that you do have the courage. It's in you. When you allow God to operate that way, when you say, God, I'm going to stand up for you. I'm not going to allow negative talk to influence me. I'm not going to allow negative talk to bring my home down, to bring my life down. I'm going to be a person of courage. I'm going to trust in things of the Lord. I know that God's got a better place for me. And you know what? If we could see spiritual eyes today, if we could just put on some spiritual glasses today and see the land that God has for us and our family, really, if we could really see, I say the land, I mean every good thing that God has for us, that God's wanting to give to you and I, every good thing that he's wanting to give to you and I, if we could just put on spiritual glasses and see it today, it would blow our mind. It would just blow our mind. So why don't we get the things that God has for us? Why don't we ever sometimes reach the pinnacle where God has for us and possess the land that God has intended us for to have? It's because we don't act in courage. And it takes courage to get those places that God has for you. It takes courage to operate. But I believe today that God is raising up a generation of people who are not afraid to stand up for Jesus. And what I mean by that, I'm not talking about sitting around with a sign in your hand, picketing up and down range line. Repent or burn. I'm talking about people who are standing up for the things of God every day in their life. Injustice. Injustice, prejudice, outright sin, things we know we need to stop doing. Looking for people who are standing, no, I may be the minority here, but I know this is wrong, and I can't do this. I can't go along with this joke. I can't go along with this practice of work. I can't go along with this attitude. I can't go along with this spiritual immaturity. I can't go along with this relational immaturity. As for me and my house, we're going to stand up. We're going to be courageous. Because you know what? The rest of the world, they may not go. But as for my family, I'm taking my family over to the promised land. I'm taking my family to the place that God has promised me. And as your pastor, I'm telling you, that's the prayer I'm praying, that God, you allow me to stand up for the right things. God, you allow me to take my children to the promised land that you have for me and my family. That's going to take courage. I'm going to operate in that today, and I'm praying today that you have the same prayer in your life. Dads, next week, I'm speaking a special message to you on Father's Day. I can't wait to speak, burning in my heart. And it goes along the same lines we're talking about today, having courage to do the right things in our life. Let's bow our heads. Today, with every head bowed, I want to ask you this question. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, you're talking about courage, and I realize today that the most courageous thing I can do right now is, first of all, is just accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But I'm here, and I don't know if I die today whether or not I would make heaven my home. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And before I do anything else, I want to start with the most important thing today. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If you're here today, I'm not going to embarrass you. I want to give you a chance to make that decision just by raising your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Can you raise your hand if that's you today? Anybody here say, that's me. I need to accept Jesus Christ. Raise it high. Second question I have for you today. See, pastors, you're talking. I realized that I haven't been operating and encouraged the way I know God wants me to. I haven't stood up for the right things spiritually, or maybe at work, or maybe my relationships that I have. As you're talking today, I realize that God's putting in me a desire to walk in courage. And I want to lead my family in courage. I want to lead my life as a life of courage. Even when it seems like nobody else is following that way, that I want to have the courage to do the right thing, no matter what. If God's speaking to you today about the spirit of courage, can you just raise your hands? That's me, Pastor. Thank you. Yeah, several hands. Yeah, guys, several hands going up. Thank you for being honest. It takes courage sometimes just to raise your hand, doesn't it? Yeah. Then this is the first starting point right here. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. And as you prepare your heart to leave today, I want to pray for those who raise their hands about courage, because several of you in every section raised your hands today. So that you want to operate in the spirit of courage. Let me tell you where the spirit of courage comes from. It comes from the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. He said, "But man, when you have my Holy Spirit, when you're filled with God's Holy Spirit, he says, I will give you a boldness to be my witness in a way you can never dream or imagine, man. It's the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit has come to give us that boldness to have courage in our life. So I'm going to pray today that God begin to give you the boldness in your life, the courage to stand up for the right things. Father, today, I pray for every person today in this room, especially those who raised their hands, who said, Father, they wanted to operate more courage in their life. Lord, I know what it is to be a wimp. I know what it is not to have courage in my life. That's not a good place to be. It's a very disappointing place to be, a very spiritually empty place to be. God, I also know what it is to stand up with courage. And every time I have, Father, you've always been there, Lord, to back up your word, to back up, Lord, the courage that you've given me. You've never left me, but God, you've always supported me. And Father, I pray today, Lord, for everybody who raised their hands and said they wanted to operate in that spirit of courage, that courage would increase in their life. I pray right now, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit today, which fills us with an anointing to have courage, to be strong, courageous, to be the witness you called us to be. I pray to Father, those people who raised their hands today, even right now as I speak to Father, there's a spirit of courage rising up within them that is there through your Holy Spirit. That God, you are filling them right now fresh and anew with your Holy Spirit. And Father, as you do that today, I pray that Father, there's a courage to stand up for the right things. There's a courage to stand up in our circle of friends, in our workplace, in our homes, with our children, with our spouse, with our family, in ministry. Whatever it is you're calling us to do, God, the things we are fearful of, the things we're fearful of, but God, we know you're calling us to do. I pray that this week, God, we would begin to confront some of those things head on, God, and say, I'm going to stand up with courage. And Father, I pray that you would help them, Father, to shake away any negativity, God, any negative thoughts, any negative spirits, any negative words that come to bring them down, to discourage them. I pray to Father, you give them a spirit of courage in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we're going to be people who walk in courage. I pray the Destiny Church would be a people who would walk in courage, knowing they have a destiny in you, Jesus. That will never be satisfied. Never be satisfied, Lord. You'll have people, Lord, Lord, who are here, who have a hunger for your presence, Lord, a hunger to go deeper in you, a hunger for a move of your Holy Spirit in their life, in their family. People of courage who say, I'll step out and I'll love people who look different than me. People who I don't know, I'll love them. I'll take courage to stand up and help people. It takes courage, Father. And I pray the Destiny Church be filled with the courage of your Holy Spirit. Courage of people who want to make a difference, standing up for the right things according to the Word of God. And we say now, Lord, fill us with your courage. And we pray this prayer. In Jesus' name we pray together. We say, amen and amen. Amen. God bless you today. We'll see you tonight. Some of you guys want to help Carlos in the very back. He'll be in the back directing you on setting up those chairs. We say, God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. If we don't see you tonight at 7.